This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening, and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm Brian Sexton, along with the head coach, Jack Del Rio. And we'll be here for the next hour with you to talk about the Jaguars, recap a little last night, start looking forward. Short week for the Jaguars as they head to Kansas City. You can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta only when you visit your local Southern Ford dealers. And we bring in now the head coach of the Jaguars. And, Coach, short week, short night, I imagine, for you.
Yes.
After last night. And you've asked all the questions and been through it all. And have you been able to, I guess to a degree, inflict the 24-hour rule and get going? Or is this one stinging?
No, it definitely stings. It was an embarrassing performance last night. But we have to move on. And we're on a short week. Tomorrow's practice preparation will be upon us, you know, quickly, and the game will be here soon. So we've got to get up and get back to work, not even 24 hours for this one, like 24-minute rule this week, and then we've got to turn our attention to Kansas City.
Yeah, obviously you have the logical means of looking at that game, going back on the tape, going with your coaches, and saying, you know, this was the call, this did this. At some point, do you throw in the subjective and say, why? You know, I mean, how was the practice week? Do you just sit and kind of just knock yourself on the head, you know, knowing how you guys prepare all week long? And certainly that was not what you expected to see based on the way that you practiced last week.
Correct. It was not what we expected.
So I guess there's just no, you can't even take the time to say why other than logical.
You get opportunities, you know, to go out and do your thing and to play well, you know, and we just didn't. You know, you go -4 in turnover ratio. That doesn't work for you.
No.
It doesn't work. You know, we were very fortunate to be a team that was able to overcome that in Buffalo,
right,
being -3 and still finding a way to win. It just doesn't happen. You try that 2 weeks in a row, forget about it.
Right. Well, and that was the thing. I mean, falling down 10-0 in Buffalo, turning the ball over 3 times, battle back, get plays. I understand Tennessee is a better football team than the Buffalo Bills, but I thought coming in last night, you had a football team with some momentum. It's a simple word, maybe too simplistic, but you know that was starting to ride a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree, and we felt like we were making strides. But you know, look, again, you know, you have an opportunity to go out. You got them 3rd and 9. You stuff the run twice, first 2 plays of the game. Your crowd's jacked up. All you need is a stop, get off the field, give your offense the ball, let them go to work.
Right.
We break down in coverage. You know, allow an easy completion. And then to make matters worse, we let them go down the field and score to open the game up with a touchdown. And then we didn't answer. You know, where we answered against Indy, you know, offensively we didn't answer. We were 0 for the first half on 3rd down. Had some costly penalties, a couple questionable.
Sure.
But had some costly penalties. And next thing you know, we're down 17-0. And we have a ball heading down to score. We're going to get the ball to start the second half. We've got to get 3, maybe 7.
Right.
And we fumble the ball there. And
that's, you know, one of your best players.
Yeah. And that's just the kind of night it was. You know, every time we got something going, we turned it over and made a mistake. And so I thought, you know, bright spots. I thought the run defense against Chris Johnson was stout.
Yeah.
For the most part of the night.
Well, you had him bottled up until that last run there at the very end. I mean, I think at one point he was averaging 2.1 per
game. And that's a little bit how our defense has been, and that's why our defense is ranking near the bottom of the league right now.
Right.
You know, good except that play or those
the
two
six
or
plays
three
against
plays,
the Eagles, you know, that you talked about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the difference. You can't give up those plays. And so when you do, that's where you find yourself.
All right, our phone number this evening, if you'd like to join us, is 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. You have obviously an issue with David Garrard, and come to find out you have 2 quarterbacks now that you have to wait and see what the story is. David, a concussion. What's the story with Trent Edwards?
Trent's got a couple things. The minor one is his knee was banged up a little bit. And he was limping in the game a little bit, but I think that's okay. The concern we have is for his thumb. And
on his passing hand?
Yeah, on his passing hand. So, you know, I think prescribed rest is going to be at minimum, you know, not practice tomorrow. And so we'll see if, you know, what it goes beyond that. We haven't heard a final on the prognosis. So, but
there's a chance that for your two quarterbacks wouldn't be available to practice on Wednesday tomorrow.
Yes, there's that chance.
And so what do you do?
There's a very strong chance.
Those are the only two quarterbacks on your roster right now, right?
Yes. Yes. Well,
are you bringing back Todd Bowman?
Todd is on his way.
Okay.
And I think upon learning more about you know, Trent's situation, we know David's not going to practice tomorrow.
Right.
So upon learning more about Trent's situation, we may have another quarterback that will need to be brought in.
All right, so it becomes an even more challenging week, as if Kansas yes. City wasn't enough.
And Kansas City's doing a lot of good things, and they're plenty of a challenge all by themselves.
Yeah.
So, but
well, you don't start 3-0 in the National Football League without playing well. I mean, and they gave up a late touchdown in Houston to Andre Johnson, which we've seen before. And otherwise, you know, they have a real good shot at. And then, boy, they played their tails off against Indianapolis. So, yeah, you got a good football team coming.
Yep.
Sunday.
They're playing well. They're at home. They're
in a raucous environment.
Places rocking and rolling. And, yeah, it'll be a very tough football game for us.
All right, we've got more to come with the head coach. You can join us, 800-355-NFL1 or simply 355-NFL1 if you're listening to our flagship News Talk Radio WOKV here in Jacksonville. We'll return with more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Jaguars obviously fall at home last night. Get back up 3-3. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to put, what is it, lipstick on a pig? Or anything like that, metaphorically speaking. But 3-3, 10 games to play. And, you know, just one game out in the division, Coach. So there's still a whole lot to play for, and you've got four division games left out there. Well, so people feel bad this morning.
Yeah,
they feel bad this evening about that.
You should. If you care, you should.
Yeah.
And we do, believe me. Nobody cares, you know, and is more disappointed than us. Certainly it was an embarrassing performance.
So for all those people out there who had a bad day at work because of this,
you're not alone.
Yeah, so did you. But I guess my point is that for everyone who's really feeling down out there, hey, 24-hour rule, however you want to say it, get over it because there's 10 games left to play.
Well, we have to do that. I mean, it counts for one game. You know, whether we were excited and had won a big game or have it go the other way, which makes me sick,
right.
Okay? But regardless, you got to move forward, all right? You could be really happy right now. You could be really sad right now. You got to go forward to the next opportunity. It counts for one.
355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1, if you would like to join us on the program. News this evening here on the Jack Del Rio Show, the quarterback position. Neither David Garrard nor Trent Edwards expected to practice tomorrow. Coach just shared with us. Instead, we're looking at Todd Bowman coming back and rejoining the Jaguars, and then they'll have to reevaluate the situation as we go through the course of the week as to how that one goes along, other than the two quarterbacks. I feel stupid saying other than the two quarterbacks because that's such an important position. How's the health? Did you come out of it okay last night, or anybody else banged up?
Oh, we got a few guys with minor bumps and bruises, but nothing compared to the quarterback situation.
How did your safety group play? You know, you trade Anthony Smith away. He's obviously a big hitting guy. You go with Courtney Green and Don Carey a lot last night. How did you evaluate them when you looked at the tape today?
Well, we, you know, in order to bring another quarterback in, we had to make a roster move, and we let Gerald Alexander go today. So that, you know, Gerald came back because Sean Considine was hurt and Anthony Smith at the time was hurt. Well, Courtney Green's played well in his time. Don Carey has played well in his time. And they're young guys. They've made a few mistakes, but we feel like we've got an opportunity to grow with these guys. So we're gonna go young in our back end, young and more athletic, and we're going to let these guys play. And, you know, we're going to expect to get better as we continue.
Right.
And we just didn't feel like we were making progress, you know, going, you know, with Anthony and Gerald and kind of, you know, recycling guys in and out and not being able to have any continuity in the back end. And so, you know, we've really, you know, made a decision to just work our young guys, let them get experience, let them grow, and know that as we go through the course of the season, we are more athletic. We will get better and, right, and gain from the experience and be a better secondary as we go forward.
You know, you in Buffalo, you put a lot of different guys in a lot of different situations. I mean, you were shuffling guys in and out. Is that a group, the secondary, that has to play with the continuity of an offensive line? Is there, because that's a group that communicates a lot.
Well, it does communicate a lot. Communication is huge. You'd like to be settled, believe me.
Yeah,
I would
sure.
love to. I would love to have the same lineup, same 11 guys starting every game, and know that they're going to help us be the type of unit we want to be. It just hasn't. It hasn't happened yet, and so we're making this move for to accomplish a couple of things. One, to get another quarterback in here. Two, to give us an opportunity to let the young guys grow and develop.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart. Six Jacksonville locations. Steinmart, more fashion, less price. We'll take a break. Come back. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of gasoline. You'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Jaguars and Chiefs from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. It's a 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff on Sunday, so we'll start with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 10 a.m., followed by Jaguars pregame at noon, kickoff at 1, the big halftime show presented by Aetna, then the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time this evening and bring some of you in. This is the Jack Del Rio Show, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Rick joins us from Fort Caroline with our first call of the evening. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. What my question is the lack of consistency in play. I mean, we can come out and beat the Colts, but we can't do anything against the Titans. What does the coach plan on doing about the lack of consistency?
Hey, Rick. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. You know, I think what as a coach I can help control is the preparation and the level of commitment, the energy, the drive that we bring to each game. I think if you go back and watch the tape, I don't think you'd question any of that. What I can't do is through that preparation is guarantee that we're not going to turn the ball over four times. You know, that's it makes it very difficult to win in this league.
Twice in the red zone, yeah.
You can't do it. And so, you know, it does not guard against having the performance not go the way you'd like. One thing about this football team, from day one back in the spring, this team has worked very hard. It's very committed. It cares a lot. I don't think that's a concern at all at this point. So I would just say that as you watch, we're all disappointed. Believe me, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I would love to see us come out and steamroll people week after week. We're just not that football team yet. We'd like to become that football team this year. We've got a long ways to go. And, you know, clearly we took one on the chin last night. We're all suffering for it right now. We can't do anything to change what just occurred. The only thing we have control over is our effort and our energy going forward, and we're going to come back and go to work and get ready for the Chiefs. And there are a lot of challenges in that. And so it's going to take a big effort. We're going to need leaders to step up. We're going to need everybody to – you can't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You know, you've got to go to work. And so here we are, you know, grinding through it, and that's what we've got to keep doing.
355-NFL-1. Rick, appreciate the phone call. 355-6351. Let's grab Scott, who is in Fruit Cove. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it. You're on with the coach.
Yeah, Coach, I understand that you can't make the tackles, you can't make the guys not pump, but to me it looks like, first of all, I'm a dear sweet hope, but six people last night, $2,400. And they expect good play call. I don't understand why the slant pass has been taken out of our offense. They used it last night at least seven times, and it worked every time. When it was third and six, third and eight, they'd automatically get 10 yards. They were playing catch. And on the same time, while we're trying to get in the game, we got 7 minutes four, three times, and we're grinding it out up the middle doing draw play. That just doesn't make sense. That's not the players. I don't think they get to call those calls.
Scott, I don't disagree with you. I think that I think we were very methodical, almost like we were running a 4-minute drill, trying to kill the clock at the end. And we were not. I was not. I assure you, excited about the way that last quarter or so went. You know, we were behind in the third quarter. We knew, you know, very clearly that the Titans were going to try and take the air out of the game, sure. And we had to go quickly. We had to get into red ball. The one thing that did get in our way a little bit, and this is not an excuse, but you're asking the question, I'm going to answer as honestly and openly as I can. We've got a quarterback due to an injury that's here with us now, who's running our red ball, who does not know all the plays that David would if he were in the game, and we were handcuffed a little bit in that situation. Now, could we have done even better there? Yes. Am I satisfied with what we did? Absolutely not. So I was frustrated at the methodical, slow, coming in and out of huddles, getting up to the line. I mean, took way too long, way too long. I was equally frustrated. That's been addressed today. We will be better going forward with that. It was not acceptable.
Now, when Scott called and told Joe what he wanted to talk about defending the slant, which is why it's right there on the screen. And we were talking in the break, and obviously that's another area that you – your expectation was much greater than the execution.
Yeah, no question. It's just a matter of, listen, you know, you have a plan, you want to go out and you want to play well. Throwing and catching a slant is a pretty simple thing. I don't remember us getting it done last night. I know they did. You know, they picked up the ball, threw a couple slants and converted some third downs that allowed them to keep the ball. And pretty simple concept, and we have been good at that. I think that's something that David has done well over the years. So, you know, we need to defend it better and need to make sure that we're doing the things that are easy ball like that ourselves.
Scott, appreciate the call from Fruit Cove. Appreciate you being in the stadium last night. Let's grab Mark, who joins us from McClenny. Hello, Mark. You're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, Coach, first of all, I want to tell you, I admire the character of you and your staff, and having to go through this is going to build better character. The thing that, as a fan, and sitting out in the stands and watching on television, you know, winning teams seem to have somebody on both sides of the ball that can just lift everybody up and make them play better than they should be capable of playing. And I think I've talked to so many people, and we're not seeing that leadership jump up and just grab people and go, come on, let's get it going. It's like people, just like the last caller, you know, we're methodical. Where's the enthusiasm to get it going? You know, and you know, youth sports going up to college, there's still that enthusiasm, and it just doesn't seem to be coming out on the team.
Yeah, I would say that we do have, you know, pretty good leadership. You know, I think the leadership with our group is probably as strong as it's been. I think that's what's allowing us to stay together. You know, guys like Aaron Campman been terrific. Kasim Oz, good.
Him up.
I mean, guys have been terrific. So, you know, Mercedes Lewis, stand-up guy. I mean, we have some good, solid character guys on this football team. So I understand. Look, people are disappointed. I'm disappointed. I understand that part. I think where you're going with that maybe is maybe a little bit off base. I think our guys are pretty solid. I think we have a pretty solid group of leadership. I think of leaders. I think that's one of the factors that's allowed us to fight our way through and be where we are. We're 3-3.
Right.
And
after the two losses to the Chargers and Eagles, not a lot of people probably thought you'd get there.
No, and we're a game out right now, right. You know, and so, you know, we've got four more divisional games. I mean, it's a lot of football left. Look, I know everybody wants it to be perfect right now. It's not. Clearly it's not. I see that. I understand that. We're going to continue to work hard, and we're going to continue to do the things that we think we need to do to give ourselves a chance. And this week we've got a big challenge. We're talking about, you know, trying to solve a quarterback situation. We're talking about getting ready to go up and slow down a Chiefs team that's running the ball, number one in the league right now in rushing offense. They're doing it with three guys. It's going to be a heck of a challenge.
Let's spend some time on that. When we come back from the break here at the bottom of the hour, we'll look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Your calls, your questions, certainly welcome here on the Jack Del Rio Show. And we'll continue after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here on a Tuesday evening, the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with you. And the head coach is here as well. When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win. While participating, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Back to Kansas City this week. Jaguars travel to take on the 3-2 Chiefs in the number one running game in the National Football League. They had a big day, 228 rushing yards in Houston, and they're doing it with a three-headed monster. Jamal Charles, who you saw last year. Thomas Jones, who you saw last year, who was with the New York Jets. And then Dexter McCluster, the rookie from Ole Miss, right?
Yes, all three of them doing a great job.
And is there some rhyme or reason? I mean, is there one number one guy like you've got with Maurice Drew, or are they rotating him in here and there?
They're playing them all.
Okay.
And the way they're doing it, you know, they'll let basically Jones and not McCluster.
Charles, Jamal Charles.
John Charles will get the bulk of the carries.
Okay.
And but then they'll mix in the other guy as a wide receiver slash kind of back, you know, and find different ways to get him the ball. And so it's they're doing a heck of a job. The line's blocking real well up front. They've got a freshness about the way they're attacking people. And I think they're doing a heck of a job.
He's McCluster's kind of the Darren Sproles guy, right? I mean, smaller, quicker. They use him like Sproles?
No, not Sproles. He's more of a wideout type guy. I mean, you saw Ole Miss. I mean, you know, some of the Wildcats, some of the wide receiver sweeps, some of the routes out of the backfield. He's a real competitive guy. A lot of fun to watch.
All right. Last year, you held the Chiefs to 60 yards rushing when they played down here in November. So what's changed? I mean, has Thomas Jones made that much of a difference for their running game to be number one?
Thomas Jones, the line is doing a great job blocking. Just the whole approach of the team and the way they're playing. They're playing good football right now.
Charlie Weiss is the offensive coordinator now, back from a short stint at Notre Dame.
That's right. Charlie's the coordinator there. They're doing a nice job. I mean, I really, you know, just watch the film. It's impressive on tape when you watch it. They're playing good football. You know, their football team's feeling good about the way they started the year. They're 3-2, and you know, they've been having a great time at Arrowhead. It'll be a real loud environment, and their defense is playing well. You know, Romeo is back over there, back with Pioli, Romeo and Weiss, and he's doing a heck of a job. They're playing a real stout 3-4. You know, they like to hunker down and kind of have some space eaters up inside there, and they're playing good football.
Tell us about Castle. 262 yards, two touchdowns last year when you saw him here. I think he completed 23 of 39. So they fell behind. They were throwing the ball and had a little success at the end of the ball game. What do you see in him? Is he kind of a he's not a name that a lot of people associate with. I mean, they think about the Ben Roethlisbergers and the Mannings of the world. But, I mean, this is a guy who led an 11-5 effort for the Patriots a few years ago.
Yeah, good young player, you know, doing a nice job. He gets the ball out of his hands. He's only taken 4 sacks on the year. So, you know, they're protecting him well, they're running it well, and he's making decisions, getting the ball out of his hands. So, like I said, it's going to be a heck of a football game, heck of a challenge for us.
355-NFL1. Grab a couple of phone calls. Let's grab Greg, who joins us from the West Side. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Coach, for taking my call. I appreciate taking the time to talk to us. I had two questions I wanted to ask you, and I'd like to take the answers off the air because I'd like to hear your response. I was at the game last night, obviously disappointed like everybody was. My first question would be, I've been listening to a lot of the radio today, and that's probably a big mistake, but I listen to all the various shows and stuff, and a lot of them obviously are subjects is venting the anger about the performance and everything last night. A lot of them are calling for sweeping changes in the leadership and the regime of the Jaguars and all that. And I was just curious, you guys can't obviously be oblivious to that, and you got to hear that. I was just curious, what do y'all do to deal with that and how y'all move on and just ignore that and, you know, get back to business? And my second question is, as far as last night when you won the coin toss, I was curious about what motivates, what's the reasoning behind the decisioning to defer and not, you know, you would think that with a team like Tennessee, you want to get the ball first, go down, set the tempo of the game, and get them behind the lead, and that way you set the tempo and get the enthusiasm in the stadium, you get the whole momentum going, and you would figure in that situation you'd probably want the ball more time than deferring. So like to hear, you know, about those two things. And you have a good night, and we'll see you next time you're at home.
All right.
Go Jacks.
I appreciate the call, Greg. And, okay, first off, let me work backwards and then, you know, and take the first one or the last one first. In terms of taking the ball or not taking the ball, it really varies on the opponent. We really wanted to come out, stuff the run, force Vince to throw, get him in third and long, get the ball in a short field, and then do exactly like you said, you know, start with the score on offense. We got him into that third and eight, third and nine, and we didn't execute. We didn't get off the field there. And we had exactly the call that we wanted against exactly the thought that we thought we'd get from them and just didn't execute. We allowed them to throw into double coverage and convert. So that's where it broke down there. Now, the reason you do that is, if you remember at the end of the first half, we have the ball, we're going down to score. We know we're going to get the ball to start the second half. We're going to go down and score. So there's a chance to really get a huge momentum swing there. That is something that that we've looked to do. We did that successfully in Buffalo.
You bet.
And we've done that successfully over the years. Now, that is not something that I like to do against a quarterback like Peyton, because, you know, he's typically takes the ball, goes down the field a pretty high percentage of the time and gets that score to get their team started. That's not the type of offense that Tennessee has. That's not the kind of quarterback that Vince Young is. Now, he got it done last night, but that's not typical of what he will do to start a game. And they don't even play that way. I mean, they're going to play very methodical in terms of the way they approach the game with him. So, anyway, that's part of that decision-making. That's why it went the way it did, Greg. In terms of dealing with first of all, I don't listen to that stuff. I'm aware that it goes on because I have family and friends that will tell me, hey, you ought to hear what a jerk Prisco's being, or whoever. You know, right. Whoever's out. Frangie, you know, they got a list of head coaches. I hear crap like that. Well, I can't get caught up in worrying about the anger, the disappointment, the way the people vent that way. See, everybody feels disappointed today. If you didn't, you wouldn't care about the Jaguars. And if you do, it's because you do care. And nobody cares more than the men that are here working in this locker room, the coaches and players that invest so much into this. And what we have to do is carry on with the conviction, with the courage to do the right things. And fortunately for me, I have faith. I mean, I have faith in God. I have faith in what he's enabled me to do in my abilities as a coach. And so I tend to attack my job with courage every day, do the things that I know are right and do them for the right reasons, and then trust God to take care of the rest.
All right, we appreciate the phone call. Good question, Greg. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More to come. Head coach Jack Del Rio in on the Jack Del Rio Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Jaguars Chiefs coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock kick from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. They've renovated it, believe it or not. I don't know whether you'll be able to tell too much, but I think a lot of it's around. But that's a state you played there, and you've been there as a coach and a player. And they have, that stadium's been up and operational since 1973. And I think it's one of the league's nice venues, always has been. A little outdated, and they've renovated it. So I'm eager to see. The one thing you know, they didn't take away any seats. And that place has been one of those full houses for a long, long, long time.
It has. I think they put, you know, close to $500 million into it, so it's pretty substantial upgrade on whatever they were, they did.
Yeah, they have significantly upgraded it. So Jaguars and Chiefs, 3-3 against 3-2, two teams trying to make their mark here in 2010. You can join us on the program, 800-355-NFL1. Patrick joins us from Yulee. Patrick, we welcome you to the show. You're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Oh, hey, Coach. Hey, listen, I got a problem with one of your players' techniques. Rasheen, he makes me cringe every time I see him go up and slap at the head when he's supposed to be making a tackle. You're a defensive guy. You can appreciate a good stick. Can we get Rasheen some help and get him out there tackling appropriately? You know, last night he went for the head again and accidentally made a tackle by the head and got a penalty.
Yeah, he did, although I think it was a debatable call. He did get flagged for it. And we certainly heard enough today about people getting fined that you know if you go around the head that it's not going to be good for you.
And it's only going to get worse now.
Right, right. Yuli, I saw a running back up there when Bowles High went up to play Yuli last week, and there was a
– I should know his name. I don't. I've heard of him.
A sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah.
And this young man –
Manchild, huh?
He was really good. I mean, he was very difficult. Talk about tackling. They had a hard time tackling him that night. But I understand what you're saying about Rasheen. Appreciate you calling tonight, by the way, Patrick. You know, Rasheen is a corner. Tackling is not really his strong suit. And, you know, we'd like him certainly to stay in the strike zone. That's not going to get a flag and get the guy down. He doesn't need to be a guy that comes up and sticks the way, say, Darryl Smith does. But we do need everybody that plays on defense to be able to get the guy on the ground and certainly without a foul if possible.
You know, we got a question earlier, forget his name, called about consistency. Rasheen got flagged for that, and there was a very similar hit in the very same quarter, I believe, on Maurice at the line of scrimmage where the hand grabbed the side of the helmet, didn't get in the ear hole, didn't get underneath by the chin pad there. Same thing, tackled and pulled to the ground by the helmet. Now, to me, if you're going to the head at all, whether you crank it on the ear hole or whether you get the face mask or not, if you're going to call it once, you should call it every time.
Well, I will say this. I think the officials in our league do as good as any officials in any league in major sports. So, you know, I mean, they do a heck of a job.
Sure.
Do they get them all right? No, they don't get them all right.
But when you count the number of plays and the number of bad plays, I mean, it's 99% to 1 most seasons.
Well, there's some last night I would like to see him go a little differently.
Well, yeah, and I'll say that the pass interference call on Tyquan Underwood, if you look at that tape over and over and over, as I did, you could see that Courtland Finnegan, savvy Pro Bowler that he is, actually had a hold of one of Tyquan's fingers. And so Tyquan is lifting his hand, and it looks like he's actually lifting Courtland's hand. And that's where I think the pass interference call came in on that. Again, just looking at it over and over and over and over.
Right.
That would have been a big play. 355 NFL1, we take a break. More to come with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. We'll run along here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach trying to get some of your calls in. We've got 10 minutes left and we still have to get a break. And Coach, you mentioned some of the fines dished out around the National Football League today. So just to get people up to date, James Harrison, the Steelers linebacker, $75,000 for his hit on Muhammad Masekwai, the Browns receiver. Falcons cornerback Dante Robinson, $50,000 for the hit on DeSean Jackson. And Brandon Merriweather has been fined $50,000 for a helmet-to-helmet hit as well.
Wow.
Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football, sitting on the set A Football Night in America, said to Tony Dungy that he used to put money aside every year to pay the fines that he knew was coming because he said that was the price of marking his territory, creating the reputation you don't want to come against the middle, against Rodney Harrison. He said it wasn't until the league suspended him that it got his attention because now you're talking about a game check. Just curious, you know, from a coach's perspective. Is this now going to become a weekly thing where we're going to see these great big fines? Will it, you know, you've sat on the competition committee. Are we coming to suspensions on this deal? How's that going to impact the game, which is a violent game by nature? How do you handle this subject? You played the game as well. You've got perfect perspective on it. Yeah.
As a coach, the way I handle it is I instruct our players. I want to teach our players so that they can keep their money in their pocket. I mean, they work hard for their money. I don't want the commissioner to come in and take their money from them. And I certainly don't want to have a player end up suspended and not available to play for. So,
right.
You know, we want to teach them how it's going to be called and what they're looking for. That's what we want to do is educate our guys so they can play within the rules. And we have awareness tape. You know, every Friday we have awareness tape. I have an awareness tape where we show them different things that have come up around the league so that we can help create a more aware football team that plays smarter within the rules and functions at a higher level. And that's important to me. Now, there's a part of me that, you know, fondly remembers guys like Ronnie Lott.
Oh, yeah.
That probably wouldn't be able to play in today's NFL.
It's what made the game what it is today.
I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. Probably would not be able to play. It's at least not play the way he played then because, You know, it used to be the responsibility of the quarterback to throw the ball where you could catch it safely away from guys like Ronnie that would light you up.
Right.
And now it's on
the defender.
It's on the defender to not light the guy up and not put him in harm's way. And that, you know, it used to be the responsibility of a quarterback being judicious on where he threw the ball, being aware of a guy like Ronnie Lott roaming the secondary.
Did you get a good look at Donte Robinson's hit on DeSean Jackson? All I heard was helmet to helmet, helmet to helmet, helmet to helmet. And then when you look at it, it was helmet to chest. Now, you're not supposed to lead with the helmet, and you're not supposed to launch, so I'm not saying that they shouldn't be fining him, but I wondered if maybe they were a little off target, because they keep saying helmet to helmet to helmet to helmet, and that didn't appear to be it.
I didn't see it.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what constitutes a defenseless receiver, because that is what they're trying to protect here. The defenseless receiver.
But you can feel free to speak on the subject yourself.
I thought they did a disservice to the actual issue by saying helmet to helmet and just oversimplifying it. You know, and you had a lot of people in my industry, in the media, who said that was helmet to helmet. You know, whether it was the play-by-play team on television or whether it was the guy on the sports talk radio station in Philadelphia the next morning. And it wasn't until you slowed it down and got a good look at it that you saw that he didn't hit him in the helmet. He didn't even hit him in the face mask. He hit him in the chest. But the rules are a complicated issue, and they're trying to protect players, which I applaud. Not trying to say that you shouldn't do your best to protect players in the National Football League. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We'll wrap things up here over the next 2 or 3 minutes. Jaguars in Kansas City on Sunday. Raucous crowd at Arrowhead Stadium and a chance to get back into the win column. 1 o'clock kickoff, which means we begin the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show here in Jacksonville at 10 a.m., followed by the Jaguars pregame show at noon, kickoff at 1, Aetna Big Halftime Show, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Has it been your experience after a painful loss that your team returns ready to go? I'm not that they're not always ready to go. They're professionals, but an extra hop in their step, a little hungry on Wednesday, eager to get that taste out of their mouth.
Well, I think we'll be eager to get back to work. But I think this one stung quite a bit. So, yeah. You know, and we haven't really had the time to come back together, you know, since the game. So we had a few guys in today working out.
Right.
But a little optional flush, a little regeneration deal, but you probably had 20-25 guys in there. But no, I think they'll be anxious to get that nasty taste out of their mouth.
And a challenging week this week with the quarterback position, without David and Trent on the practice field tomorrow. Is there a shot that you could have one of them on Sunday? At
yes.
this point, or I mean,
Todd
no, Bauman's coming back to run practice. Does that mean he's
no?
The
there's a shot. There's a shot for both of them. I don't mean to.
Well, just curious
put that out
if
there
that's long term.
The wrong way. No, it's just a situation that we know that, you know, tomorrow there's a strong possibility that we won't have either guy tomorrow.
Right. All right, folks, that'll do it for this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show. Thanks for your calls, questions, and comments. Appreciate you being in the stadium last evening. Jaguars and Chiefs on Sunday for a chance again to get back into the win column. And to Coach, best of luck in your preparation.
Thank you.
I know you got a lot going.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, we will join you from Kansas City on Sunday afternoon. For those of you in Jacksonville, don't forget Jaguars this week. Tomorrow at 6 right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.